And so it behooves, that's a big word, it behooves pastors to teach the whole counsel of God. And we usually go verse by verse through a book in the Bible. We've been through several books in my tenure here of 15 years, and we'll go through several more. But I wanted to take kind of a break between books and look at some verses that every one of us should know and why we should know them. This morning we're going to look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And if you're like me, you grew up with the King James Bible. How many of y'all grew up kind of King James-esque? Okay. And then the NIV came along, the Living Bible came along, the New Living Translation came along, others have come along. But I memorized verses basically my whole life from King James. So here's what it says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, now I'd like for you to read this with me, and I'm going to put it up here in the ESV if you'll read out loud these two verses with me. Ready? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. R.C. Trench was the Archbishop, if I can get my mouth to work, he was the Archbishop of Dublin from 1864 to 1884. I've got some of his books. He wrote a great two-volume set on the parables. Very brilliant man, very godly man. He served 20 years in Dublin, and then 2 years later he passed away, went to be with the Lord, and he is buried. If you ever go to London and you like to tour Westminster Abbey, he is one of the famous people buried there. And a great guy, but he struggled with anxiety and worry about one thing in particular. There was one thing that he just worried about and worried about and worried about. And that was this. He had a morbid fear of becoming paralyzed. By the way, he died not paralyzed. Because most of the stuff we worry about and we stress over never happened. But he was just like, he had this morbid anxiety about it. And he was at this large dinner. There were many people around this banquet table. And you know how they put your name tag there. So you're sitting next to somebody you may not know. And you're just making small talk. So he's sitting there. And he begins to say, mumble this over and over to himself, but out loud, but where the people on each side of him could hear him. He's really self-talking. He's talking to himself. And he said this over and over in this dinner. It's happened at last. Total insensitivity of my right leg. It's happened at last. Total insensitivity of my right leg. He just kept saying it. Until finally the lady on his right said, "Your grace, it may comfort you to learn that it is my leg you are pinching." Yeah. Vance Havner said that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Now, I'm speaking to you as a fellow worrier. I used to be consumed with worry, and I still get anxious once in a while, but it is nothing like it was before. And I'm going to tell you that there is a way to get out of your worry and anxiety, and the Bible gives it to us. And this helped me, and I hope it helps you. But we all know the feeling. I know the feeling. I've experienced this over the years. The churning in your stomach. Now, don't. If you're sitting next to a worrier, an anxiety person, don't jab them in the elbow and go, "Hey, listen up." Don't do that. But I am raising my hand because I know the feeling, the churning in your stomach, the racing thoughts at 2 o'clock in the morning, the what-if scenarios that play like a loop over and over and over and over and over and over, the what-ifs in your mind. And it doesn't have to be this way. Now, I believe the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Philippians, he wrote the verses that we're looking at today. He wrote them from jail. I don't know if you know that, but he was in prison for preaching the gospel. It's one of the prison epistles in the New Testament. So when he said, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He said that while he was handcuffed in a jail setting. I believe that Paul had heard the Sermon on the Mount. Not live, but I believe he'd read it. Don't you think that Paul had heard about Jesus' sermon, the greatest sermon ever preached, that he had read it, that he'd heard it, that he had studied it, and he was well aware of this part of the Sermon on the Mount, which says this, therefore I tell you, these are Jesus' words, you're going to find worry 6 times in this passage that Jesus said. Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? There's the second time. And why do you worry? That's the third time about clothes. Consider how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, O you little faith? So don't worry, it's the fourth time, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry, fifth time, about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Martin Luther, who was the father of the Protestant Reformation, brilliant man. He wrote volumes of books, commentaries, translated the Bible. He also wrote A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and he wrote Away in the Manger, if you're not familiar with those songs. Brilliant man. This is something from his autobiography that was translated from German to English and translated into English for us. So I'm going to read to you a section from his autobiography, his own words translated into English. Quote, I have one preacher I love better than any other. It is my little tame robin who preaches to me every day. I put his crumbs upon my windowsill, especially at night. He hops onto the sill when he wants his supply and takes as much as he desires to satisfy his need. From thence, he always hops to a little tree close by and lifts his voice to God and sings his carol of praise and gratitude, tucks his little head under his wings, and goes fast asleep to leave tomorrow to look after itself. Isn't that good? The little birds of the field have God as their caterer. From this passage in Matthew 6, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the poet Elizabeth Cheney, not the politician poet person, the poet, she lived a long time ago, so don't get sidetracked, but that was her name. She wrote these words from this passage. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would surely like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. You ever seen one of these? I was just talking to Mike Yox about this. Mike had some car trouble yesterday. Yeah, you ever seen one of these? It's telling you that there's something wrong in your car and you better address it, or you're going to be calling Uber. It's a warning light. For humans, especially for Christians, Worry is the warning light that comes on in your heart that something is wrong. It's not, something's wrong when you start to worry. Worry is a signal that something is wrong and needs to be handed to God. Worry is the warning light that God is really not first in my life at this moment. Worry is an indication that we think God cannot look after us. Worry is the idea that maybe God needs some help and I'm just the person to do it. That God's looking for a little mini God to help him out with some of his stuff. And I can do that. And this light goes on. I struggled a few years ago with worry. And I'm just being honest. I was in a deep, dark hole of worry. Anxiety. Trace and I went on a cruise for our 20th anniversary. We'd never had a honeymoon. And we got married on a Friday night. I had to drive back to Atlanta on Saturday and Sunday because I had to get back to my $2.35 an hour job on Monday. So we never did have a honeymoon, and we planned one and saved our money. Went on a cruise for our 20th anniversary, and I went to a Goodwill thrift shop and looked at their books. You know, back then you could get them for 25 cents or 50 cents for a hardback. So I found this book, and I thought, this is intriguing. I think I'm going to take this on the cruise. How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. Changed my life. Let me tell you what Dale Carnegie did. He took Bible verses and turned it into a best-selling book that sold 15 million copies and counting. He's got a whole chapter in there on prayer. And I took that with me and I read it on the cruise, and I've read it now two or three times. I keep writing in the front of the book, second reading, third reading. Every once in a while I pull it out and I realize I have a problem with worry. And one of the ways I found out that it was really a problem was it was either Tracy or Zachary that said to me one day, "You don't sing anymore." Huh. I had never thought about it. And I had other people say to me, "What's wrong?" I would go, "Nothing." And they would say, "Well, you need to tell your face." I wasn't singing. I wasn't whistling. My colleague Derek Truesdale whistles. And I know when he's stressed because he stops whistling. So now he's going to whistle for me even if he is stressed, just so I won't ask what's wrong. But Derek whistles, I sing. You know, I just realized, man, I'm not singing. I was taking internalizing things that I absolutely could not control. I pray this very often, and I'm going to share this with you again. Please get this and start praying this. Put this in your repertoire of things you pray about. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world, not as it is, but as I would have it, as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you would make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Corrie ten Boom rightly said, you know, when we worry, we try to live on tomorrow's burdens with today's grace. And the truth is, we can't do anything about yesterday, and we can't do a thing about tomorrow. But we have this moment, as Bill Gaither wrote, we have this moment to hold in our hands. We have this moment today. Now, Paul, writing from prison, a place of isolation and hardships, tells us how to not be anxious about anything. I want to read something to you. Paul wrote the book of 2 Corinthians in the years 55 or 56 A.D. 2 years later, 2 to 4 years later, he wrote Philippians. So he wrote 2 Corinthians first, then he wrote Philippians. And I want you to track with me about this. In 2 Corinthians, he's giving a history in chapter 11 of some of the hardships that he's been through for the sake of the gospel. Now, listen to these. Listen to what this guy's been through even before he is now in prison. 5 times I received 40 lashes minus one from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times, and that doesn't mean he was stoned. That means he was pelted with stones and left for dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers from the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brethren, toils and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold, without clothes, not to mention other things. There is the daily pressure on me, the daily pressure on me, my concern for all the churches. Now, fast forward 2 or 3 years later, he is in jail. He is shackled. And yet, if you read through the book of Philippians, you're going to come across verses like this. Now, just track this with me. In chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Chapter 2, verse 5 to about verse 13, I think. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Then in verse 12, he says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For, verse 13, it is God who works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure." Guy's in jail when he said that. Chapter 3, verse 10, he said, "That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death." In jail. Chapter 3, verse 13, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Chapter 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Verse 19, "My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." It's the same guy who said this, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now think about it. If you went through all that stuff that I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and you were in jail, would you be writing those kind of things, or would you be sitting there with a pen going, "They're so mean. They are so mean. Tell my friends. They're meanies." No. But look at him. He just looks at it like, you know, it's the privilege I have for carrying the gospel. "For me to live is Christ, die is gain." It's remarkable. Now we're going to look at what these two verses mean and then how they apply to us. Let's break this down in phrases. Number one, do not be anxious about anything. The word anxious in the Greek is merimnao, which means to worry or be concerned. So anxious, worry. Anxious, worry. But it's interesting, the word anxious means one thing, and a sub-meaning of anxious means something else. So worry, anxiousness, means to be pulled in different directions. For example, our hopes pull us in one direction, our fears pull us in another one. But when you combine that with the Latin meaning of the word worry, it means to strangle. So while we're being pulled in two different directions, the worries of this world are strangling us. Everybody in here knows we're not supposed to worry. You know that, right? You know what's frustrating is when, and I'm not talking about myself, I'm just giving a general, It's frustrating when you are a worrier and you're married to somebody that's not a worrier. And you worry and they say, well, stop. Just stop. Okay. I will. All I needed was for you to say, well, just stop. Thanks. I'll just stop. It's not that easy, but there is a formula. But you have to recognize, number one, that we are not to be, the Lord does not want us to be anxious. He doesn't want us to be pulled in two different directions and strangling at the same time. When I was at my lowest of anxiousness and worry, I would find myself not being able to breathe. Have you ever been there? Like, okay. Like, you catch yourself, all of a sudden you realize, I'm not breathing. I mean, you're just sitting there and all of a sudden, and thank the Lord for medical and psychological professionals that can diagnose when people get that deep where they go, you know what, you need some counseling, or you might even need some kind of medication to help you get out of this dark place and kind of get back to some kind of level place. I'm not making light of your worry or your anxiety. I mean, there are folks that need to be on some medication prescribed by doctors to help them through stuff. But for most of us, it's not a medical issue. It's just we've let our mind go there, go down to this depth where we are being pulled in two different directions and strangling at the same time. And Paul, who was in jail, Paul, who'd been beaten and left for dead, Paul, who was stoned, left for dead, Paul, who went through shipwreck after shipwreck, Paul, who said in Philippians, by the way, I have had much and I've had little. I've dined with kings. I've had nothing to eat, but I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. Paul said, don't be anxious and worry. Don't be pulled in two different directions. Don't let the cares of this life strangle you. Don't let the cares of this life take away your song. Okay. How? This is where it gets good. Now watch this. Let's look at the next phrase. But in everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer. Prayer. This is not asking for stuff. That's the supplication part. You start with prayer. You start with prayer. I want you to say this with me out loud. I'm going to say it, and then I want you to say it with me. I didn't write this down, so I got to think of how I want to say this so that I'm not confusing everybody. If I don't pray, I will never stop worrying. Let me say it again. If I don't pray, I will never stop worrying. Okay, now I want you to say it with me. If I don't pray, I will never stop worrying. I will say this to myself 100 times a day. Just don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Doesn't work. And you don't start with going to God with your list. Hey, God, I got about 2 minutes here to tell you that I'm really stressed about, let's see, everything on the front side of this page and some stuff on the back, and please take care of this for me, and I'll check back in with you this evening when I get off work. That's not the way this works. The word prayer here literally means the sense of it, the context. This is communion between your heart and God's presence. It is adoration. It is devotion. It is worship. When we pray, we step into the sacred dialogue of relationship with the Heavenly Father. It is here that we redirect our thoughts away from circumstances and onto God's character. He is our refuge, our provider, our sustainer, our Savior, our Lord. You have to start here. If you do not start here, you will never stop worrying ever the rest of your life. You will die worrying. I'm telling you, you will die a worrier if you don't learn how to pray. I did this sermon, of course, in the first service, and somebody sent me a video clip, which I wish I could quickly put up on the screen and show to all you guys. It's amazing, but the guy said, he shared some statistics that they know now that it is impossible to think of two things at the same time. So it's impossible for you to praise God and pray to him and worry at the same moment. You're going to have to pick. That's interesting, isn't it? I wish I'd had that last week and got Derek to put a video clip up for me, because it's amazing. That little two-minute reel that this guy shared was really, really good on the subject of prayer. And when you pray, this is huge. When you pray, you cannot put God on a clock. Okay, God, I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to commune with you. I'm going to worship you for 30 seconds, and then I'm going to get into what I really want to talk about, which is why I'm bothered. That's not the way this works. You go into prayer because you need it, and he deserves it. And you take all the time you need, and if you never get around to your punch list, okay. How much time do you spend in worship and adoration of God in one day? How much time do you spend worrying and griping in one day? You got the time. You're just misusing it. You're griping, you're complaining, you're vocalizing your worry, which just makes it worse. Just burning it in your hard drive. What if you spent that time worshiping God, praying to him, adoring him for who he is, for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do, for everything you know out of the Bible about him, everything you've learned out of the Bible about him, everything he's done for you in your life, you just think through and you rehearse all that. That's prayer. And you take all the time you need to make sure that I am up in the lap of my Heavenly Father, and I am loving on him, and he's loving on me, and this is so sweet. Then you go to supplication. Supplication is the asking part. This is where we bring our needs and burdens honestly before God. Nothing is too large for him. Nothing is too small for him. We should come boldly, and we should be specific about our worry, about our anxiety. If you are anxious about something, you spend that time necessary in prayer to worship God and be with him. And don't put him on a clock. You're not going to put God in a box. You're not going to put God on a clock. It's not going to happen. You spend that time necessary. If you need to go take... I used to do this every Monday. Monday used to be my day off, and I would get in my car, and I would drive, and I would spend time with God. And Tracy knew that's my time. I would say, I'm out of here. I'll see you later. I would drive from our house in Loganville to Athens and back, down 78. Or I would drive down to 81 on 78, and I would go over to Conyers and Covington and then come back. But I would spend that time just with God, just with him. Then you pray. When you do the supplication part, that's part two, then you are specific about what you're asking for. God, I am worried about my child. I am anxious about my sister or brother. I am concerned about my job, and it's keeping me up at night. I can't, this is over my pay grade. I can't deal with this. And I need you to help me with this. Please, be specific. Now, watch this. He doesn't need to hear it. He already knows it. You need to say it. You need to verbalize, I cannot do this on myself. I cannot do this on my own. I cannot do this by myself. You need to verbalize it. You need to say it to God, because you need, in saying it to him in supplication, you are acknowledging that I am worried about this, and I don't want to worry about this. I want to put this in your hands, God, and I whatever you do with this, I'm okay with it. But I can't handle this by myself. That's supplication. Number three, with thanksgiving. This is remembering what he's done. Now, if you think about this as a sandwich, prayer is a piece of bread. Thanksgiving is a piece of bread. Supplication is the stuff between the bread. So it's prayer, worshiping God, adoring Him, thanking Him. Then in thanksgiving, you are thanking Him again. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Everything. I didn't plan this in the first service. I didn't plan it for this service. But I want us to take a minute, just take a few seconds. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving. What I want you to do is I want you to bow your heads with me. And I'm going to pray and thank God for what He has done in our lives as His children. So let's pray together. Father, I want to take a minute in this message. I know I'm not done with what you want me to say, but we want to take a minute to thank you. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you that I am justified, just as if I never sinned. Thank you that I am being sanctified, being made more and more like Christ. Thank you that one day I will be glorified. I will go to heaven. Thank you, Father, for my relationship with you. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my son. Thank you for my daughter-in-law. Thank you for my two granddaughters. Thank you for my extended family. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for a car to drive and a house to live in and clothes to wear and food to eat. That you meet all my needs and a lot of not even needs but just wants you graciously share. That you love me so much. There's nothing I could do to make you love me any more or any less. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, in this moment for those in our congregation, in this room, and those watching on live stream that are struggling with anxiety and worry, that you would help them to bring that boldly to you, confidently to you, knowing that you are there, that you will help them if they will just pour their heart out to you. Thank you for what you have done and what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, gratitude shifts our focus. It opens our eyes to see what that God who delivered us before will sustain us again. That God hasn't forgotten about you. That God hasn't fallen off the throne because you got a problem. I got a problem. Well, God's still God. You know, the God that parted the Red Seas is the God that's in your heart. Same God. He hasn't lost any of His power, any of His wisdom, any of His might, any of His strength. Remember what He's done. Thanksgiving isn't just a polite nod in prayer. It's a powerful expression of the faithfulness of God. Gordon Fee said this, lack of gratitude is the first step toward idolatry. And I believe that's true. We need to be thankful people. Do you have a lot to be thankful for? You know, if you would spend some time thanking Him, you know why? He deserves it, and you need to say it. He deserves to hear all the reasons that His child is thankful for Him. He deserves that, and I need to say it because it gets my head out of my own space, off of my own issues, and onto Him. Then the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace is the divine, deep, calm, and settled confidence that God is in control. God's peace stands like a sentry, S-E-N-T-R-Y, over our thoughts and emotions, protecting us from the enemy's tactics of fear and despair. Now watch what happens. When you do that, He will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Guard, He will garrison like a fortress, like a shield to protect and surround you. He will guard your heart. That's your feelings. He will guard your mind. That's your thinking. Show you this picture. You know what that is? Stool. How many legs? Okay. It's a three-legged stool. Do you know that we have three parts to us? Now, we have two sets of three parts, and it's complicated. I'm not going to get into all of that. But Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, I think, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. That's three. But we also, as human beings, we have intellect, emotion, and will. Intellect, emotion, and will. Intellect, emotion, and will. And if you take one of those three out, it's going to fall like a three-legged stool. We have intellect, we have emotion, and we have will. Now, let me go back. No, I'm going to go forward. I can do it this way. There. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your, what is this? Watch. Your what? And your two of the three-legged stools. Two of the three legs on the stool. Your heart and your mind. When you pray and you are thankful to God, and you are specific in your supplication, what he will do is he will guard, he will garrison, he will surround your heart and your mind so that your will can do the right thing. Without your heart and your mind, you have a one-legged stool. That's why to say to yourself, okay, I'm just not going to worry. I'm just not going to worry. That's my will. I'm not going to worry. 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 Because we're trying to make it happen when we don't have the power for it to happen. When you pray, he guards your mind. When you pray, he guards your heart. When you thank him, he guards your mind. When you thank him, he guards your heart. If you don't pray and you don't thank him, it doesn't work. This is how it works. Prayer plus supplication plus thanksgiving equals peace with God. You cannot take out one of those three and still have peace with God. It's impossible. You're going to worry. You can ask him in supplication to take care of your problem and thank him, still worry because you didn't worship him. You can worship him and thank him, but I think you'll still worry if you don't ask him to help you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For everyone who asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You have to do all three. And you have to do it in that order. That's not what I said. That's what God said. In everything by prayer, number one, and supplication, number two, with thanksgiving, number three, let your request be made known to God, and that inner calm, that peace that passes understanding. I don't understand it. Right. It's peace that passes understanding. Keep your hearts in mind. The peace of God guarding. If I do this way, if I do this. Now, you have spent, and I'm just pulling a number out of the air. If you spent 20 years worrying, you're not going to fix this with one sermon and one prayer. You may have to pray and supplicate and thank God several times a day for months and maybe even years to get yourself out of this funk you're in. But I'm telling you, if you do this long enough and consistently enough, you will stop being anxious and worrying about every little thing in your life that you can't control anyway. You have no control over what's happening to your family member, to your friend, to someplace around the world, to a coworker. You can't control any of that stuff. But what you can control is your relationship with God. And watch this. He says, when you do this, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say the peace of God, that he will change your circumstances. Most of the time, he doesn't change your circumstances. He changes who? You, in the circumstances. I've got some homework for you. Just homework ideas. Just one, or I've got three things I'm going to put up here, and you can do one, two, three. I'm hoping you'll do at least the first one, and here they are. Number one, what is one worry I need to turn into a prayer today? I want you to get one freezed in your brain. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a situation at work. Maybe it's your health. What is one worry I need to turn into a prayer today? Okay, God, this week, based on this message, based on what God said in His Word, I'm going to work on this situation in my life. This one thing. I'm not going to try to fix 8 things that are bothering me. I'm going to work on this one thing. Just I'm going to work on this. And I'll let those just ride. But I'm going to work on this one thing. And take this formula and take that one thing and spend a week working hard on it. Maybe several prayers a day. Maybe several times a day of thanking God. You may need to do this. I would suggest you do this every night before you go to bed, before you go to sleep, so you don't wake up at 2 o'clock going, you know what's irritating? Is to wake up at 2 o'clock laying there thinking and you go. And what you hear is, because the person laying next to you, they're not worried about anything. And you're going, man, I need my sleep. Take one thing that you're worried about and turn it into prayer. Take number one, make that a project. Or number two, how can I practice thanksgiving while I'm waiting for God's answer? Because, okay, I've prayed about it. John said to pray about it. Paul said pray about it. Okay, I prayed about it. I thank God. It hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. So how can I take prayer and thanksgiving and just sandwich my worry with prayer and thanksgiving and prayer and thanksgiving and prayer and thanksgiving and prayer and thanksgiving and prayer and thanksgiving? Or number three, do I believe God is still in control even when my life is uncertain? Sometimes, for all of us, life just comes at us like a runaway freight train, and we're stuck on the tracks and we can't get out of the way. And it's scary. You know, you're looking after a loved one who's got cancer and they're not going to get any better, or they've got dementia and they're not going to get any better. Do I believe God's still in control even when my life is uncertain? Let's pray. Father, I thank You that through the inspiration of the Scripture, You have given the Apostle Paul the answers that we need to not worry, to not be anxious, to not be pulled in two different directions, to not be strangled, but have through a prayer, through a relationship with You that's deep and intimate and personal and real, and through the thanksgiving to You for all of Your blessings in my life, that sandwiched in between that, I can be specific in my prayer. I can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That I can cast all my care on You, knowing that You care for me. I thank You that we have the answer to overcoming anxiety and worry and stress. And Lord, I do pray for our church family. I pray for my friends in this room that are struggling hard. They're fighting hard to try to get out of this worry and anxiousness. And I pray for them that they would find strength and hope in these two verses of Scripture. That they would memorize these two verses of Scripture. That they would find themselves maybe a dozen times a day saying these two verses of Scripture out loud to themselves, reminding themselves of how to get out of this. Thank You that You have given us a formula in the Bible on how to overcome anxiety, to how to overcome worry. We don't have to live like that. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world. You are in us, Father. And You are greater than the one that's in this world, the prince of the power of darkness. We thank You. And we pray this commitment to You, Lord. Help us to put these two verses of Scripture in our lives, to actually live them, to actually do them. And then, Lord, I pray, by faith, even now I'm praying that as our church family members and those watching from live stream at home somewhere, that as they begin to do these things, that they would begin to see the worry light on their dash going off. And they would begin to see that they have more peace. And they begin to find that they're singing again. And they're not so stressed. God, I pray You'd bless them. You bless us as we obey your word. As we obey your word, Lord, would you bless us and honor our obedience by giving us that peace that passes all understanding, keeping our hearts, keeping our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we pray these things in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. We're going to have communion, and there are tables all around. David Strong's one of our elders. He's going to come and lead us in communion. So if you would go ahead. If you are a member, not a member, that's okay. If you're a child of God, if you're saved, you know the Lord, go get your communion elements. Go back to your seat, and David's going to come up here, and when he sees that everybody's kind of settled, he's going to lead us through communion. And then, David, if you would, after you lead through communion, if you would close us in prayer. Four.
Good morning. Thank you, John, for the message. I appreciate what you shared, and I hope that we all take just a little part of that message and we have the application for our life. We're wonderfully made, but God did not create us without having this issue we deal with as it comes to worry. So, but thank you that we have the scripture this morning and the message that John brought. From Deuteronomy 5, 28, 29, 32, and 33, walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper. Jesus, who fulfilled the law with his death on the cross, proclaimed, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." From John